Chapter 5. Mr. Gellis had prepared me for the use of the sound recorder on the previous evening. He assured me he would take care of the technical preparations, including the winding of wire on the two large reels and its threading through the complex parts between. We had opened the suitcase, and he had shown me what to do, his agile hands pointing out the interlocking pieces and the activation switch I would need to move from off to on. The machine ran on a battery that lasted some 20 minutes, not long, Mr. Gellis said, because the battery had to be made small enough for the machine to be portable. My instructions were to place the recorder in the centre of the barn, turn it on, and attempt to draw the ghost as close to the machine as possible in my 20-minute span. I had received similar instructions for the camera. I had seen cameras, of course, though I had never owned one. Again, Mr. Gellis patiently explained the workings of it. He himself took the idea of capturing the ghost with some cynicism. He had never succeeded in doing so, mostly because of the limitations of the technology. The camera required a large amount of light to take a photograph, light that was rarely available in the dim houses he had investigated. Ghosts were inevitably chased away by the flashes required to get a proper picture, and in any case, the bright illumination of the flash would wash out, in his opinion, any delicate ghostly image that was present in the first place. It was his frustration with the camera that had led to his commission and purchase of the special sound equipment, at great cost. He was very excited about the possibilities of capturing his ghosts by sound. I picked up all this technology, the camera on a loop.